Good morning. Glad to see all of you this beautiful Sunday morning, Memorial Day weekend. It's always good to be in the house of God. I don't know about you, but I'm always excited. How many fans, sports fans, do we have in the house? The rest of you will pray for you. I don't know if you know this, but we should also be fans of Jesus and make just as much noise because we're so excited when we're in his presence. In fact, we should make even more noise because what happens on the football field or the baseball diamond or the soccer field or you name it is pretty inconsequential. It's not going to last till the next day. But things concerning Jesus and God and salvation are eternal. Amen? So we should always be revved up and ready to go. I guarantee you, you make enough noise here, the roof will stay up. It will not drop. Amen? We're going to look in the Word of God, and the message today is the personhood of the Holy Spirit. I think the last time I was up here, I kind of hinted that we'll be going and looking in the scripture about the Holy Spirit. Because I think the Holy Spirit is the least understood, or dare I say, appreciated part of the Godhead. So this will be the first message in a series of messages about the Holy Spirit. And we'll look at the personhood of the Holy Spirit. We'll also, when we have the opportunity, look at the symbols, look at the gifts, look at the filling or the indwelling, because they're all important, amen? So in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word used is Ruach. That's the word used when talking about the Holy Spirit. And the word literally means wind. Wind, even the wind associated with a breath. It can also mean mind or spirit. In the New Testament, the Greek word pneuma was used, which means the breath or a breeze. So when we look at these definitions, we can literally think of the Holy Spirit as the breath of God, the wind of God, or the spirit of God. There's a lot of churches or people that believe, and some even teach, that the Holy Spirit didn't come on the scene until Pentecost in the New Testament. Well, there's also churches that teach the Old Testament is irrelevant because the church age came in the New Testament. Fortunately, this church is not one of them. We believe in the entirety of Scripture, and that, as God's Word said, all Scripture is God-breathed, right? Even those boring genealogies, they're there for a reason. So like we said, the Holy Spirit is a distinct person and part of the Godhead, which also includes the Father and the Son. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So right in these two verses, we see the three distinct persons that make up the Godhead. The Father speaking from heaven, the Spirit landing on Jesus, and Jesus, the Son, coming up out of the water. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. One of the verses often quoted in this church, because it's the mission of the church, right? "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Notice the scripture doesn't say names. One name, one God, three persons. Now, if our minds can't wrap ourselves around it, there's a good reason for that. Because we're not God. Amen? And it affects a lot of us, because we live in a world, in a culture where we want to prove everything scientifically. If we can't see it, feel it, touch it, smell it, hear it, then we have a problem with it. Amen? But if it's by faith, then we have to believe it, even though we can't see it. How many of you, as a child, just because your parents told you don't stick the fork into the plug, you decided to try it? Now you can't see the electricity, but I'm sure you felt something when you stuck that fork in the plug. You see, if we can see it, if we can touch it, then it's not by faith, which is what I'm trying to establish. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." I mean, this is it. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and telling them, this isn't all there is. I am here with you. I will be leaving physically, but the Father will give you another counselor, and he will be with you, how long? Forever, always. He's not going to leave you, even when you tell him to. Some of us tell the Spirit, "Wait outside. I'll come back and hook up with you again." No. Wherever we go, he's going there with us. He may be a little bit disgusted, but he will be there with us. Amen. He will be with you forever. And he is who? The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But we can accept him because by faith we know that he lives within us. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Again, the love of God, the grace, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. See, all three in one. We need the grace. Of course, for God so loved the world. And then we need the fellowship of the Holy Spirit continually dwelling within us. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 23. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. So the promise that Jesus made while he walked this earth with his disciples, they are now testifying and attesting that just as Jesus has promised, that promise had now been fulfilled. And the Spirit had been poured upon them that and they were doing some crazy things that the folks thought they might have had a little too much to drink. But Peter is saying this is the promise that Jesus made, and God has what? Fulfilled that promise. That's why we're here today. That's why we're doing what we're doing today, because that promise has been fulfilled. What are we trying to establish here? The Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and the Son as a part of the Godhead. This does not mean that there are three gods, but that God is manifested in three persons, three distinct persons. Now, this isn't as difficult as it may sound, because after all, God is God. In the earthly realm, one person can be a father, a son, a grandfather, a brother, and a nephew all at the same time. And although this isn't an exact comparison, we can all get the point, right? If we could explain everything about God or understand him completely with our natural minds, then we might be God instead of him. One wise person many years ago said, I know two things are true. One is that there is a God, and two, that I'm not him. As an integral part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit also shares the attributes of the other members, since they are all co-equal parts. Meaning he's not just a force, an idea, or a figment of someone's imagination. He is real. He exists. And because he's part of the Godhead, he shares all of the same attributes of the Godhead. And we'll look at some of them now. The first one is that he's omnipotent, all-powerful. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. He shall do what is needed in order to bring about that part of the grand plan of salvation that God had designed even from the beginning of time. And that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Romans chapter 15 and verse 19. In mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of God. In mighty signs and wonders, all the miracles that all the apostles and disciples did were done by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen? Not in their own power. You see, there were some that didn't know this and tried to imitate and use the words. But there's got to be something behind the words. I may want to impersonate Bill Gates and write a check for some outrageous amount, but there's no backing behind it, because when I take it to the bank, it'll be rubberized and bounce. So people thought they could use a word and say, oh, in the name of Jesus, do this or rise. But they were saying just the words without the power of the Holy Spirit behind it. So Paul is saying here, by the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gives us that power, not only for signs and wonders, but just to live a fruitful and victorious life as we walk with the Lord. Amen? The Holy Spirit is also omnipresent at all places at once. Psalms 139, verses 7 through 13. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Nowhere can we go. We can't hide. We can't flee from the Spirit of God. He's with us wherever we go. He's also omniscient, all-knowing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Whatever is revealed to us is not because we're so smart. It's because God has allowed his Spirit that lives within us to reveal himself, not only himself, but his plans, his purposes for our lives. Sometimes, I mean, those of us that have been believers for a little while, you read the Bible, you read a certain scripture, and then one day you read it many times, one day you read it and some light bulb just goes on. And it opens up a whole new revelation of who God is and what he's trying to tell us. Amen? That's the Spirit. Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. There are some things God readily reveals and some things that we got to dig deep and rely on his Spirit to reveal to us. Amen? The Holy Spirit is also eternal. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? As an integral part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit shares the same attributes as the other two, which are the Father and the Son. He's eternal. We read another scripture that says he will be with us forever. Forever means in eternity. Amen. He's equal. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. Co-equal, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Peter said, you lied to the Holy Spirit, but then you didn't lie unto men, but unto God. Eternal, equal, coexisting from the beginning. Again, the Holy Spirit didn't just come on the scene in the New Testament. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The word used in this specific instance for God is Elohim. Elohim. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the Spirit was there from the beginning. Amen? Now we'll look at some qualities of his personhood. Number one, there are certain qualities of persons, right, that's different from qualities of the wind or the or force or a figment of the imagination. Number one, the Holy Spirit has intellect. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. We read that just a short while ago. That God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. So whatever God has revealed to us, He's revealed to us by His Spirit. Because the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. The Spirit has intellect. He thinks and reveals stuff to us and knows what we need and knows when we need it and is always there, not only with us, but also what? In us. Sometimes we like to think that we're so smart, besides me, because I know I'm not. But God reveals stuff to us by His Spirit. And the more we're willing to listen to the Spirit, the more revelations He might give us. The Holy Spirit has knowledge. The very next verse. For who among men, 1 Corinthians 2:11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Isn't that a beautiful picture? In order to know God more, in order to know more about God, in order to know more of God, we have to rely more on the Spirit of God, which dwells where? Within us. It's not all that complicated. But it's deep. So the Holy Spirit has intellect. The Holy Spirit has knowledge. And these are all qualities of persons, right? The Holy Spirit has emotions. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The word translated grieve here is lupeo. Lupeo, which means to make sad or sorrowful, heavy of heart. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So we see that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Right? Jesus had emotions. He was sorry. In the Old Testament, it said God at one point repented that He had made man when we decided to do some stuff that was against His will. So the Holy Spirit has emotions. He can be grieved. He can be sorrowful. And what if I had to do a quick pop quiz here, what do we think grieves the Holy Spirit? Don't raise your hand and answer. There's an I in the middle of it. But He has emotions. He can be grieved or sorrowful when we choose not to listen to Him and we choose to go our way instead of the way He's trying to nudge us. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 10. Yet they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. So He turned and became their enemy, and He Himself fought against them. Again, this is the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was around in the Old Testament. And he was grieved when they turned their backs on him and rebelled. The Holy Spirit has his own will and he makes decisions. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So they traveled throughout Phrygia and Galatia because they were kept by whom? By the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. See, he knows all things. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent, so he kept them there from there for a reason. The Holy Spirit loves. Romans 15, chapter 15 and verse 30. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. The love of the Spirit. As part of the Godhead, God is love, right? So, because the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit is also love and he loves us. The Holy Spirit has a mind. Romans 8:27. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. See, if we want to know the mind of God, we rely on his Spirit, because the Spirit lives within us and is one with the Father. He searches our hearts and he knows the mind of the Spirit. So we look at attributes of his personhood. We look at qualities of his personhood. And now we'll look at acts of his personhood. Because we're trying to establish here that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit teaches us things about God and ourselves. John chapter 14 and verse 26. Jesus speaking, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He will not only teach us, but he will bring to remembrance those things that we need to know. My own battery is dying, so that's not strange. He won't only teach us, but he will remind us. I don't know, you've been in situations before where you know that you've read the Bible, you know some scriptures, but in the moment of time, the scripture will just flash to your mind. Sometimes we don't want to hear that scripture because we want to, you know. remind us. You know, just at work on Friday, I had a lady, she's not part of my group, but we work together on the same floor. And she came into my office, and I have a Bible that looks just like this that somebody had left down in public access. And I went down one day, and the officer said, "Oh, I got a Bible here." I said, "I'll take it," because he knows who I am. And so she saw it on the table. She said, "I need to hear something from the Bible." She didn't go into too much details. Later on, she spent about 30 minutes in my office. And I opened the Bible and I read from Psalm 70. And it's a short psalm, but by the time I got done reading it, she had tears coming from her eyes. And then she began to relate and tell me some of the struggles that she was going through. It was a really touching. But I say this to say that there was not time. It was only by the Spirit of God. Because guess what? Whatever I read was exactly what she needed to hear. And it's only by the Spirit. He teaches us and he reminds us. My wife and I have this discussion all the time. How many of you have heard of Jack Van Impe? I swear the guy can quote the whole Bible. That sometimes can be really annoying listening to him preaching. But even if you can't remember the reference, you don't know what book or chapter, as long as you know the words, that's a heck of a good start. When I first became a Christian, that was one of the big things that was emphasized, memorizing scripture. As you can tell, I didn't do too well. I do know some. But the Spirit teaches us all things about God and about ourselves. We're not capable of understanding anything about God but by His Spirit. Amen? Another act of His personhood, the Holy Spirit tells the truth. John 15 and 26. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, we see the connection again. Jesus here speaking. I will send him, but he comes from the Father. They're all connected. The Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Truth is truth, and truth is absolute. Okay? There's not your truth or my truth. Don't let the culture fool you. You may choose not to believe it, but that doesn't mean it's not the truth. Amen? I don't want to get sidetracked. That's another message for another day. So the Holy Spirit tells the truth, and he will always testify about Jesus and try to point us in the right direction. So any word that comes from anywhere that's contrary to what Jesus taught or what's written in the scriptures is not from the Spirit of God. Amen? Is not from the Spirit of God. He will testify about me.
The Holy Spirit guides, John 16 and 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will guide us into all truth. He will lead us on the paths that reveal to us the truth about who he is and God's plan and purpose for our lives. That's what matters, brethren. That's where the rubber meets the road, not all the noise that we hear around us. The Holy Spirit convicts. John chapter 16 and verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, that's not a popular topic, even in the church, and I mean church universal. Churches nowadays are afraid to talk about sin because they don't want to offend anybody. So I apologize if I offend anybody this morning. No, I really don't apologize, because that's the word of God. Amen. But the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin in our lives. Convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. He will point us and teach us and guide us. But guess what? When we go off path, he will also convict us and gently remind us and nudge us back into the fold. Amen. Just like the picture of a sheep that has strayed from the flock. The shepherd's going to use that staff and gently nudge that sheep back into the fold. That's the picture we should get. Not the heavy-handed. We shouldn't be thinking of the guillotine. That's not our fate. God wants us back in his fold because he's already paid the price. Righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit prays for us. Romans 8, 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Sometimes the situation is so dire or so dreary or so deep that we can't come up with the words. Amen. But the Spirit knows exactly what we're going through because he knows the mind of God. Amen. And he knows our situation because guess what? He's omnipotent. He intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he also searches our hearts. And he intercedes for us. Why? How? In accordance with God's will. Because he knows the will of God, because he's part of the Godhead. See how that fits right in? He prays for us. And that's a very important part of the ministry of the Spirit. He prays for us. He reminds us. So the hardest thing for me is to get started. How many of you try to set a time and inevitably something will happen right at that time that you've set aside? We just got to go at it. And it's not about legalism, for lack of a better word. No, it's just wanting to know the heart of God and to draw closer with Him, to Him, through His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit commands, Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Set them apart. I've called them, I've chosen them to carry on a particular work. So I want you to set them apart for the work for which I, the Holy Spirit is speaking, I have called them. Number 7, the Holy Spirit gives joy. Luke 10 and verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure." Jesus also said that unless we came as little children, we couldn't enter the kingdom. Full of joy through the Holy Spirit. In Him there is fullness of joy. Amen. I'll have the worship team come up. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 16. And 6, pardon me. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6. "You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." Sometimes the world or people around us, are unbelievers, are puzzled how a believer in Jesus Christ can still have joy in spite of suffering, in spite of lack, in spite of sickness, in spite of adverse circumstances. Because joy comes from within and comes from the Spirit of God that lives within us. Our joy does not depend on how much we have in the bank. Our joy does not depend on how many people we have following us on Facebook. Our joy does not depend on whatever you fill in the blank, it depends on the Spirit of God that lives within us because of the hope we have in believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. That's how we can have joy. Unspeakable joy. In spite and despite all that the enemy throws at us. Because we have the Spirit of the living God dwelling inside of us. So we look at the personhood of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's a real person. But he's also a powerful person. He teaches us. He guides us. He reminds us. He gives us joy. He convicts us when we go off path. So we have the person, we have the power, but above all, we have his presence. His presence. And it's something we should always be not only mindful of, but grateful for. Because that sets us apart. We have the Spirit of the living God dwelling inside of us. Inside this, God has a weird sense of humor. There's a reason he made us from dirt. You know, I used to have a pastor that said, before you get too full of yourself, remember you're nothing but walking mud. But the Spirit lives in this walking mud. He makes his home inside of our hearts. Because he desires nothing more than that we spend eternity with this God that created us for the sole purpose of having fellowship with us. He wants nothing more from us but for us to love him back. Yes, if we can give back to him every now and then, that's fine too. Or serve him or tell others about him. But he wants us just because he loves us. If we don't remember anything else today, let's remember that God gave us his Spirit because he loves us unconditionally. Please stand as you're able. Scripture says God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus has paid the price for our salvation, but he also promised to send the counselor, the comforter, the teacher, the guide, who's the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And he's with us for a reason, because he points us towards the Father and points us in the right direction. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your Spirit lives within us. Your word says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us, Lord. And we thank you this morning that we have a teacher, that we have a guide, that we have a counselor, that we have an intercessor, Lord, that we have a friend that lives within us, Lord. I pray that we will be more mindful and more in tune with the groanings of your Holy Spirit, Lord. May we yearn for more of you, Lord. May we yearn to draw closer to your heart, Father. Because your word says that if we seek you, we will find you, Lord. We pray we'll be more sensitive to the words, to the leading of your Spirit, O God. And we thank you this morning. We lift up those that are sick in our midst, sick in body, mind, spirit, emotionally, whatever way, Lord. We pray a healing touch this morning from you upon them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray, Lord, for victory in every battle that will come across us this week, Lord. Because we know they will come, Father, but we know with you by our side and your spirit dwelling within us, victory is assured. So we thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those that are out with the weekend, Lord, camping or doing whatever they're doing, Lord. You're present wherever they are, Lord. Touch them and remind them of how much you love them, Lord. Because we love them also, Father. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, Amen.